Order. Thank you. Item one, Treaty 6 land recognition. We would like to acknowledge that this meeting of the Students Association of McEwen University is taking place on the traditional territories of the people of the Treaty 6 region in central Alberta. The Students Association of McEwen University is situated in the center of what we call the City of Edmonton, which is called Amiskwichi Waskaigan or Beaver Hill House in Nehiyawiwin. This is the traditional home of the Nehiya and Michif, and meeting place for many Indigenous peoples, including the Ngagawe, Siksika, Nakota Sioux, and other nations. Item two, approvals. 2.1, we have a motion. Anyone care to make that motion? Councillor Stewart.
Thank you, Chair. I move to approve the agenda for January 16th, 2019.
Thank you, Councillor. And a second? Councillor Bauer, thank you. It has been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for January 16th, 2019. Is there any debate? President?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move to amend to strike item 3.1 from the agenda.
Thank you, President. So the amending motion will read to remove item 3.1, diversity and inclusion, presented by Irfan Chaudhry. Do we have a second on the amendment? Vice President, Operations and Finance, thank you. President, would you care to explain why the amendment?
I would love to, Chair. Thank you. There was just some schedule mishandling, both on our part and in terms of communicating with the Director of the Human Rights Office. This presentation was initially intended for February, so we will be looking to present it either at the council meeting or sometime separate from the council meeting in the coming days. But it will not be happening today, and so we'd like to make that correction by removing it from the agenda today. Thank you.
Thank you, President. Is there any further debate? So the question is on the adoption of the motion to amend the agenda to strike item 3.1, diversity and inclusion, presented by Irfan Chaudhry. All those in favor? Thank you. And opposed? Motion carries. Back to the main motion. We have a motion to approve the agenda for January 16th, 2019, as amended. Is there any debate? The question is on the adoption of the motion as amended. All those in favor? Thank you. And opposed? The motion carries. Item 2.2, we have a motion. Councillor Stewart, care to make the motion? Strayer, sorry.
I move to approve the minutes for December 19th, 2018.
Thank you, Councillor Strayer. My apologies. I was living in the past. I was going to make a Back to the Future joke there, but I didn't know if it was going to work. So, and whether or not that was still relevant with this crowd. But and a second? Thank you, Councillor Ruiz. It has been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of December 19th, 2018. Is there any debate? Questions on the adoption of the motion as read. All those in favor? Thank you. And opposed? Motion carries. Item three, presentations. No longer any items there. Item four, for information, 4.1 reports, 411. President, any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. As reflected in my report, we are in the process of hiring for an advocacy coordinator. We have made a selection, so the successful candidate has been informed. He'll be joining us on February 1st, which is very exciting, in particular for the VP Externals portfolio, as we are working on Get Out the Votes campaigning on campus. In addition to that, I attended an advanced education budget consultation on behalf of the Students Association yesterday with the ministry staff and the minister himself, alongside other student leaders from Northern Alberta. We largely went over our priorities for the year and what we'd like to see reflected in Budget 2019. And that was just a repetition of CAUSE's budget submission that we had made earlier this year. I did ask the minister to clarify whether or not there would be a budget in 2019, and he gave me a roundabout answer, so that was appreciated. But other than that, no further information came of that session, although we were able to really highlight the need for lights on funding for the building, as well as a focus on student financial aid. That's all for my verbal supplement. Thank you.
Thank you, President. So just for those who may not be aware, CAUSE is Council of Alberta University Students. Just mindful of acronyms. Okay, 412, Vice President Academic, any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The tax
Thank you. 413, Vice President External, any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. On Friday, I met with the SAPA, which is the Alberta Student Awards Personnel Association, I believe. They're talking about kind of changes to scholarships that might be coming up in the upcoming year around how they're administered. If you want to know more about that, I suggest you talk to me in person because it can get really detailed and complicated. So I can for sure explain any question period, but it's a lot of weird details. And then we hired an advocacy coordinator. What else? And I attended a budget consultation on behalf of CAUSE or Council over University students, along with the president. And I also kicked off Get Out the Vote campaign. We had a decent first day of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Item 414, Vice President, Operations and Finance. Any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I attended the QIN Committee on Internationalization Student Subcommittee, where we have been working on a proposal for institutional analysis and planning, IAP, at the institution to access information that we currently have on international students that's collected by the university, as well as some proposal for some data that would be useful to start tracking within the institution so we can better identify international students, their needs, how they utilize services, etc. So very productive in that, and we'll be working on that over the next few months. I also had a BPC, Bylaws Policy Committee, as well. We will have some recommendations for next month's meeting. Unfortunately, since we had the meeting yesterday, we weren't able to get it on the agenda for this month. But I'm excited for the work of that committee. I also attended the Integrated Strategic Plan Resources Foundation Plan Committee meeting as well. This is one of the four foundational plan committees for the Integrated Strategic Plan for the university. Resources specifically deals with finance, HR, facilities, maintenance, etc., the resources of the university. And we were tackling value number four in the ISP, which is the McEwen experience. And so we discussed how resources can meet the goals and objectives of the other foundation plan committees. Essentially, we get to sit around and everyone tells us what they would like to do and we have to find a way to pay for it. Is the long and short of that fun, sad committee. But well worth the time, and excited to see that roll out with the new integrated strategic plan full fold. I also attended the quarterly UCAS advisory committee meeting this afternoon, where they gave a presentation on the smart fare system that the city of Edmonton is launching. So it is similar to cities like Seattle, Toronto, etc. It is a smart fare system that comes with cards and tapping to access transit as opposed to tickets and bus fare. And we've been working specifically on the UPass component of that, how we handle and manage that as institutions and students' associations, and how we facilitate that to our students and how the student experience will be affected by that. So very interesting. They seem like they really are working hard, so that's great news. And so far are on track for a 2020 full rollout, which is exciting. So that was a great meeting also this afternoon. And that is it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Item 415, Vice President, Student Life. Any other supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to bring your guys' attention to next month already, just because a lot of planning has been happening around a lot of initiatives going on. It's a jam-packed month, with it being Black History Month. It's the first time the University and SAMU have been doing an official event. We're going to be having 11 different activities, presentations, workshops happening throughout the month. Then the first, or the 4th to the 7th is Wellness Week, so it's pretty encompassing as far as different issues that students are facing around wellness. And then the week after that, it's Red Flag Campaign, which is violence in relationships and different forms of that. So lots happening in February, but also importantly happening at the end of this month is the deadline for Student Community Engagement Grant. We've seen a very low turnout for that right now. The deadline is the 30th of this month, but students are eligible for up to 5 grants. So if you know anybody that's interested in doing a Student Community Engagement Grant, or you yourself are, just reach out to me so that you can get more information.
Thank you. Very busy executives. Holy cow. Item 4.2, Executive Committee Minutes. The minutes of December 12, 2018 are provided in your package for your information. Item 5, Question Period 5.1, Written Questions. Gold Star to Councillor Newton for submitting the question. Thank you. And item 5.2, Oral Questions. Question period is open now. Councillor Newton.
Thank you, Chair. My question is for the President, just following up from my written question. Has there been any potential candidates that have applied for the position?
Thank you, Councillor Newton. President?
Thank you, Chair. I don't actually oversee that. That would have to be the Governance Advisor who can answer that question. So.
Governance Advisor?
No.
Councillor Newton, any further questions?
Yes, just one final question. I'm just wondering, for the future, will SAMU consider other means of promoting council positions, possibly through posters, banners, and even the promo squad, to kind of increase our scope of advertising rather than just doing it online?
President?
Thank you, Chair. Promo squad's already being utilized to promote the vacancy, and I do believe that we have some print materials out in circulation, although not a large amount of it, simply because of the timelines that we're working with in terms of getting materials turned around. I would say that the lack of interest is perhaps not due to the fact that there's not enough advertisement, but because council is seen as quite a significant commitment from a student's perspective. So it's unlikely that you know, if they're not already within kind of this orbit and understanding what's happening, that they'll be able to, or they'll have interest in joining the Students' Council. The most successful strategy that we have seen is essentially headhunting candidates. So if there's someone that you know that is very interested, and we've seen this with folks who are around the table today, they have their start by being encouraged to apply for those open positions outside of an election context. We have seen that be very successful. And so, as I said in my written answer, I think if councillors do feel that there is an opportunity for them to share that with their networks, and they recognize individuals who would make valuable additions to the conversation on this table, I would really encourage them to take advantage of that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, President. Councillor Newton, anything further?
No, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Stewart.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a question for you, go to the President or Vice President External. In regards to the advocacy coordinator hired, I see that from the report that the advocacy coordinator is replacing a previous position of director of advocacy and governance. How does this new role differ? And with advocacy, what will they really be doing? Is it organizing different campaigns and meetings along with the VP External, or what does that role encompass? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stewart. President?
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is a great question. So we had an opportunity when the last advocacy director departed from the organization to do a review of kind of the roles that we expected that position to fulfill and the supports that it provided. And we recognize that at a director level, which is more kind of oversight, looking at a very kind of big picture approach, it wasn't really working. The executive needed someone who was able to provide kind of administrative support in terms of providing research and briefs and things like that to kind of be making that kind of decision, making the process simpler and more streamlined. And so the new position is kind of geared towards that, which is why it's now called an advocacy coordinator as opposed to a director, as it doesn't oversee a department. The scope hasn't changed much, so still working on campaigns, still providing research support, still providing support to the VP Academic with student appeals. So that'll remain consistent, but I imagine that role might also evolve as a new person comes into the role and actually carries out the duties. So we'll be working, myself, the VP External, and the general manager are currently working on an onboarding plan a new staff member, and so we'll be looking to kind of integrate that a little bit into their position and kind of setting them up for success in that way.
Thank you. Councillor Stewart, any further questions?
Not at this time. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Other questions? Councillor Strayer.
Thank you, Chair. I've got two questions. The first one I'm going to ask the Vice President Academic. You wrote about the academic appeals process is going to change with the new structure coming from the province. Tell me about the new framework that you and Dr. Wells have developed. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So the question, I think, is can you tell me about the new process?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay. Thank you, Councillor. Vice President?
Thank you, Chair. So the new proposed framework is still kind of a thought in the sky. As of right now, we will still be proceeding with the appeals policy that is in place. However, something that has... So with the PSLA changes, essentially the only legislated change to student appeals is that students can or should be able to appeal to the Board of Governors. Right now, what's being discussed is whether every single appeal that comes through the office should be taken to that level, whether it should be more of an appeal of process versus the result of an appeal at a lower level, and the different levels that you could take certain appeals to. So, you know, academic versus non-academic, in the classroom versus when the class is over, and so on and so forth. So at this time, there's nothing solidified, but what we've discussed so far is that there would be essentially a more streamlined process, and there would be two different processes for that would mirror each other. There's similar, there's different levels for each. That would mirror each other for academic misconduct and then non-academic misconduct for students, if that answers your question.
Thank you, Vice President. PSLA is the Post-Secondary Learning Act, for those of you who may not be familiar. Councillor Strayer, your second question.
Great, thank you, Chair. On the EC minutes dated December 5th, 2018, Section 5 writes about how the reporting structure for GM reports might change. More specifically, it writes about how the GM reports would no longer come to EC, SC, but instead EC would select information which is relevant. This question is for the President. What's the risk and the harm in simply allowing SC to see the full report as it currently is?
Thank you, Councillor. President?
Thank you, Chair. I think if memory serves correct, as the meeting was a while ago, the question is not about EC selecting the information, rather it's about kind of simplifying it in a way that's relevant to the scope of SC. So at the moment, we find that the information that we provide can be quite overwhelming in that it is down to the complete minutia of the activity and doesn't necessarily concern the scope that SC is looking at. What we're looking to do is kind of shift more towards an accountability and a risk assessment model. So looking at the success of programs, looking at the growth, but then also looking at organizational risks that we might be wanting to be aware of and things like that, which I think fit well within the governance review kind of that we're wanting to also undertake with regards to some of the other pieces, or a review rather of the existing kind of practices around there. So it's not necessarily, again, that EC will be hand-selecting that information, not at all. Rather, it'll be something that EC will have a more specific operational look at it, and then a broader, I guess, scope will be provided to SC for review. This is not going to change the kind of information that's available to committees, for example. So executives who, or sorry, councillors who sit on committees will still have access to the same kind of information they've had previously. But when we're talking about our reporting structure, that is kind of what's going to be changing a little bit about it.
Thank you, President. Councillor Strayer, anything further?
Did our Vice President of Operations have something to add?
Vice President?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I was just going to add to the explanation as I was also a part of that. The GM reporting schedule was also confusing. The position was required to report on a quarterly basis, but they were, the structure required that they report report halfway through the quarter, so there was confusion on what the report should actually be. There was no direction on what capacity that would look like, so that was confusing for the general manager to navigate. It also feeds, again, as the president stated, feeds into the reporting structure that we are hoping to strengthen and to implement. For executive committee to receive more reporting and more streamlined reporting than we do currently, and then translate that information as was stated. So there was a couple of nuances to the discussion around that, schedule being another one of those factors. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vice President. Councillor Strayer, anything further?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. If we asked something to you that was too operational, you would deem it out of order, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So my question is, like, again, for the president. Does she think that what might be relevant to what council sees, and though it might be overwhelming, it's relative to the councillor? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I don't quite know what to make out of that question, but President?
Thank you, Chair. I think this question begs for some speculation, so I will do my best to answer. The fact of the matter is that executives already make a judgment about what is relevant to Students' Council and what is not in the reporting structure simply with our own reports. Our reports don't contain every single activity that we partake in, simply those that we find to be relevant to the portfolio of students' counselors. This doesn't mean that the counselors are barred from asking questions that demand further detail, whether that's in person or at a students' council meeting. And the same is true for the information about our programs and services. We, of course, rely on the chair to determine what is operational and what is not, but that is an overwhelming burden to put on the chair to have to do that for every piece of information that we're bringing forward. In terms of what's relative to counselors, as a former VP External and chair of SCRC, one of the things that we saw and one of the things that we continue to see now is a lack of engagement, whether that's through asking questions or reviewing materials. And so we have to draw some conclusions based on, rational grounds about what is causing that. And part of the thing that we do see is the amount of information that we provide will impact the amount of engagement that we get. So if a counselor is in the middle of midterms, for example, and receives an agenda package that is 200 pages, that's not going to be something that they're going to prioritize because it's going to be an overwhelming amount of information. As I said, the information is not going to be taken away completely, but it is something that we're looking to reduce in terms of our reporting mechanisms and our reporting structures, and is not going to impede counselors from doing their job because we are looking at the relevance to the role of a counselor and to the role of Students' Council, as opposed to our personal feelings or opinions about those information pieces that we're bringing forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, President. Is it safe to make an assumption that this decision will not be made in a silo, but will be consulted with relevant councillors at a particular committee?
That's correct.
Thank you, President. Councillor Strayer, anything further?
No, your question actually appeased me quite fully.
I aim to appease. Thank you. Any other questions? I'm in a marriage, so I aim to appease. We both do. It's a partnership. Councillor Ruiz.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to ask whether it is the President or the Vice President of Operations and Finance to explain more as to what the new structure of reporting will be like, as well as what type of information will potentially be changed from the current way, and with the general manager's report. I just want to have some more information regarding that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. I'm going to say that once a decision is made on any changes, I would expect that to be communicated to a committee and to this council. We can talk about what had been discussed and if there have been any decisions, but that's as far as I want to go with that question. So, President?
The December 5th discussion is essentially the only one that's happened since this topic was broached on the reporting mechanism, so there's nothing further to report at this moment. But I can assure you again that this is not going to be a decision that EC makes on the fly or without
without adequate consultation with relevant stakeholders. So it will be a question that will come back for consideration, whether if it's at this table or a committee table, I can't comment at the moment, but it will be brought forward for review.
Thank you, President. Councillor Ruiz, anything further?
No, that's it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillors, any other questions? Good question period. Thank you. Item 6, in camera period. No items there. Item 7, motions and business orders of the day. None there. Item 8, consultation. Nothing there. And item 9, evaluation. We will distribute the forms. Ready? Order. Thank you. Nobody's still filling out the form. Right? Okay. Item 11, adjournment. We have a motion. Oh, sorry. Item 10, recognition. Councillor Stewart?
I would like to recognize two people in particular. One being the Vice President External on starting out the Get Out the Vote campaign, and that's really exciting, as well as the Vice President Academic for their work on the textbook campaign and being out there for the 2 days talking to students, and seemed like there was a lot of people who were participating and we got lots of like, data from that. Also want to throw one of them there for our amazing student life for getting a Winterfest going, because that's this week or at the end of this week. So yeah, that's all. Thanks, Chair.
The temperature will be right for Winterfest, I think. I'm full of them today. It's a new year, a new me. Any other recognition? Vice President.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to recognize the Chair for his dynamite commentary this evening, and the fact that all of it will be recorded and transcribed in all associated minutes on the SANU website.
It will live beyond me. Any other recognition? President.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to recognize all the councillors who submitted questions or asked questions in question period. A lively question period is always both entertaining and heartening, so thank you for that.
Any other recognition? Vice President.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to recognize, I already did this at EC this morning, but I would like to recognize Councillor Stewart and Councillor Newton for helping out with the textbook cost campaign, as well as the Vice President of Student Life and Vice President External and Vice President Operations, and Councillor Drummond for saying that she was going to, but that she couldn't make it up. Which is not shade. None of y'all were volunteers, so.
Councillors, any other recognition? So, Council, I just want to recognize you for showing up today, and I think I'm looking forward to a good 2019 of meetings. We started off the year right, I think, with a short but lively agenda, so thank you for that. We'll move on to item 11, adjournment. We have a motion. Councillor Ruiz.
I move to adjourn.
Thank you, Councillor. This motion only requires one mover and is not debatable. Question is on the adoption of the motion to adjourn. All those in favor? Thank you. All opposed? Motion carries. This meeting is adjourned.
Before you leave, Councillor, just a reminder, we are back here in a week's time for our special meeting. Please don't forget and please attend. It will be really appreciated.
And come read the document.
Yeah, for sure. And please go read the brief. Members of BFC can tell you its importance, and you will be voting on a decision, the information of which is provided in that brief. So if you're wanting to do your job right, please go read it. Thank you.